want you to know that I mentioned to Jenny a couple of days ago that I needed Peter to call me in the morning. And I told her that if he didn't call me in the morning to pray with me before I came to church to serve the people of God, that I was going to tell everybody in church that he didn't call me. But you know, this is a rare occasion for me. Pathfinders have asked me to stand in for them, but this is the first time that my pastor has ever been in church when I've been asked to speak. So he did pray with me. We got to the sanctuary today and we prayed together. So I praise God for the pastor being here in my life. Before I also get started, I wanted to mention that some of you came in late when the offering is taken up today. I ask that you fill out an extra envelope for the Pathfinders. This is Pathfinders Day, so remember the Pathfinders today. Also, for the blood drive, the outreach coordinator, you didn't get any sign-up slips in your bulletin, but if you would, print your name on the back of here and the time in which you can donate. Don't wait for somebody else. You sign up today. We do need your contribution. Sign this up and slip it on into the offering bags when they come around at the end of the service. It's a blessing to be here today. I was really honored to be asked to speak on behalf of the Pathfinders. So let me say good morning and good Sabbath to everyone. Happy Sabbath to all of you. Praise God this morning. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm happy to be in the house of God this morning. How about you? You happy to be here this morning? Amen. Amen. To all of our visitors and distinguished guests who've come down, I want you to understand you're no longer visitors here at Fallbrook Church. You're extended family, so when you come into the house, pick out your favorite easy chair. Remember that the refrigerator is open to you. Don't wait to be asked. Just treat it like your home and come on in and relax here with your family here at Fallbrook Church. So we're very, very blessed to have you choose Fallbrook Church to worship along with us today. So on behalf of our pastoral staff and leaders and our entire congregation, I want to welcome all of you here this morning. As you've heard and seen, family, this is Pathfinders Day 2001. And as I've been introduced by my wife, my name is Perry Robinson, and as always, I want to praise and thank God for his presence and his patience in our lives today. And again, for being my friend and my pastor, I also want to thank Pastor Neary for his generosity and his prayers, and for allowing me to be able to stand in this pulpit this morning. Praise God. The pastor stands by me all the time. And last, but by no means least, for asking me to lead out, I thank the Pathfinders and all of their leaders for allowing me to share in this day with them by serving you. May God's blessings be upon us all. Let us pray, please. Dear Heavenly Father, this is your house. And we're thankful to be called by your name, dear Lord, that we may be able to set this day aside as you have asked us, and to come home and be with you, Lord, that we may forget the cares of this world for the moment, dear Lord, and come in and lift up praises and thanks to you for blessing us, Lord. There's much going on in the world. There are many, many needs, Lord, and we need to come to your house and get on our knees in prayer that you would lead us and guide us into where we should go. We ask you to bless those that are sick and shut in, and bless our elderly, dear Lord, those who could not make it here. We ask that you bless all the young people as you have set aside this day to recognize them. So, Father, we ask that you continue to bless each and every member of this church, Lord, that we not only come to receive a blessing, but when we leave here, though, that we would be a blessing to someone that we come in contact with. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity here this morning for myself to be able to serve you in any capacity, Lord. But I also ask that you would take this sermon and hide him behind yourself, Lord. That it is your words that are heard, and that it is you that is seen. That the message that is brought forth is the message that you want all of us to receive this morning. So God, take control of this vessel right now and bless this congregation. Let your Holy Spirit fall down on this place. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. God is good all the time. That's the interactive part of my service. So every time you hear me say that, that's exactly what I want to hear. If I say God is good, that's what I want to hear all the time. Amen. Amen. Again, on behalf of Pathfinders this time, I want to take this time and say thank you to Pastor Peter and all the church leaders for setting aside this day and time for Pathfinder's Day. Because in doing so, you have sent a clear message to our young people that Pathfinder's Day is a way that we as a church can tell our young people they are special. Not just to us as parents, but to God especially. That they will be thought of and are thought of, and that they will always have a place to serve and grow in the house of God. Amen. It's also a day that we can say thank you to the parents and to the grandparents as well as to the youth leaders for bringing their children, our children, into more of an awareness of the need for a closer walk with God. Amen. Now, when hearing about Pathfinder's Day and looking forward to its coming, I've heard about how much fun all of the camping trips are, how much fun all the trail climbs are. All you have to do is listen to the Pathfinders and hear the stories. And I've also heard and seen some of the fun times and the fun and games that they have, the splendid times at the yard sales, and how some of us adults, and I'm not calling it any names, get to live out our childhoods all over again. Roger Perez, Cal Ferguson, and Mark Fisk. Like I said, I'm not calling out any names, but I hear that the kids aren't the only ones having fun at these events, huh? I've gotten to know some of these guys as some of you, and it's a true blessing to have our kids in their hands. Those guys and the rest of the Pathfinder staff are there to ensure a good, clean fun, and that's one of the things that Pathfindering is all about, fun. But I want you to know that on the serious side, I've also heard about the drilling of Brother Dexter Cash. He's a gunnery sergeant in the Marines. He's off serving the country at this time. I've heard about his drilling instruction, and I've also heard about the craft class of Sister Robinson, where you're going to learn attention to detail, organization, and hard work. And I know that's true because, you see, the little Sarge practices on me all the time. And I'm still working on a few things, amen. No, seriously, though, Mrs. Robinson is a lot of fun, along with Roger Perez and the whole Pathfinder staff. They run a fun but tight ship, a tight but fun ship. And everything that is done with much, much love. It only sounds like boot camp. Nevertheless, if you stand on the outside and look in as I do, as I often have, you'll notice all of the smiles and the hugs, all of the achievements and accomplishments that are passed between staff and the kids. And you'll come to know also, as I have, that they are truly a family. And I want you to know that I sneak in from time to time, as to some of you, to some of the smiles and hugs of myself. I can't let the little stars and the little brothers have all the fun. Everybody should sneak in for some of the hugs and smiles and pathfinders. God is good all the time. Amen. Amen. I want to speak on the topic of when I grow up. For God is watching. Turn with me, if you would, over to Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. And as it has been read, Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Reading in your hearing, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. And it's been said, and I've heard it said before, that we have two lives. It's the one that we learn with and the one that we live with after that one. Now, we know what stage that our children are in, and sometimes I think we need to figure out what stage of adults are in. You see, children are a blessing given to us by God. And if you notice, in the scriptures, God didn't ask us to bring them up right. He commanded us to, amen? But knowing right from wrong isn't always easy. You see, when I was little, yes, I used to be little once, I used to say to myself all the time, when I grow up, you can fill in the blank wherever you want to, but I used to say to myself, when I grow up, I'm going to drink all the soda pop I want. My parents didn't want me to drink a lot of soda pop. They thought it would do something to stunt my growth or whatever. I used to say, when I grow up, I'm going to drink all the soda pop I want. One of the other things I used to say was, when I grow up, I'm going to watch all the TVs that I want. The TV wasn't high on my parents' priority list either. They used to make me study all the time, or I had to do my chores, or whatever it is my parents wanted me to do, that TV wasn't so high on their priority list. But I used to also say that when I grow up, I'm going to watch all the TV I want. But that wasn't my big one. Let me tell you what my big one was. I used to say to myself, when I grow up, and follow this, when I grow up, I'm going to stay up as late as I want. I couldn't understand. My parents would stay up 2, 3, 4 o'clock, whatever they wanted to do. But I had to go to bed all the time. And I say to myself when I was a kid, when I grew up, I'm going to stay up as late as I want. I want you to know that I'm 40-something now, and as late as I want is about 9 o'clock. You see, I used to think that I knew what was right. I used to think that I knew what was good for me back then. But it's funny how things change, how your viewpoint changes. When you're young, you see it one way, but when you grow up, things change. I used to say that when I grow up, I'll make it all of my own rules. I don't know about you, but I got so tired of rules when I was a kid. There was so many of them. So I used to say when I was a kid, when I grow up, I I'm making all of my own rules. But you start to learn early on, if you're led correctly, that right from wrong isn't as simple as it looks when you're young. And most of us didn't think so at the time, but God knew what he was doing when he gave us parents. Amen. You see, although God is a jealous God, because he doesn't want our split devotion, or he doesn't want our divided worship, although God is a jealous God, he isn't a selfish God. Follow me if you would. You see, God teaches us by his example, just like in the days of Hosea. And if you get a chance, go back and take a look at that book. God was trying to show Hosea his heart. Just like in the days of Hosea, God allows us. He wants us to know his thoughts. He wants us to know his very heart. And I really believe this. God is truly trying to show us his joy. God leads out by example. He tries to teach adults how to look at his heart. He tries to teach adults how to follow in his thoughts. And likewise, our thoughts and our hearts and beliefs are to be made known to our children. Think about it if you would. God gave us children so that we can see the simplest and the purest of delight that we could get when we heard such things as when I grow up, I want to be just like my mom. Or when I grow up, I want to be just like my dad. I know kids, y'all don't understand this, but you have to be a parent. There's something that goes on in parents when they see their children, the tingling going on in their eyes as they learn, when they say simple things like, when I grow up, I want to be a pastor like my dad. Or when I grow up, I want to be a surgeon like my dad. Or when I grow up, I want to be a mechanic like my dad. Those things just shiver to a parent because something is going on in their children. They're growing up. You see, God, though, could have kept all that joy for himself. He could have cut the middleman out. He could have cut you and me out. He could have pointed all of the attention of creation to himself and simply made all of us what we were going to be from the very beginning. Can you imagine that? No raising kids, no getting any joy out of watching them take their first step. He could have cut all of the middlemen out and just made everybody whatever they were going to be right from the beginning. No, but he chose to let us take the time to take them to church. He chose to let us share in the hard work, the dual purpose of sending them to Pathfinder. To reinforce what is taught at home, and at home to reinforce again that which is done at church. And at church only mimicking the values of God taught by loving parents. It's hard teaching and disciplining our kids, as most parents know. It's hard at home as well as at church. But it must be done. And it must be worth it because, you see, we keep coming back for more no matter what, even when they're not even our own kids. It must be worth it. And if you've ever asked yourself why, it's because of the joy that we get, the joy that we feel, the joy that we receive when we look at our children's faces and they get it. That's why we keep coming back. Every time you look into your child's face and you see that light go off, when they get it, the real is family love. When you've taught them what you need them to understand, and they understand what it means to have a family. When you've taught them about the love of God, when they get it, the real is. That's why we keep coming back. Because we want to see them get it. We want to see them grow straight. When you teach them about life and God's purpose for us, and they get it. You see, it has no equal. There is no comparison. It has to be about as close as we'll ever come to realizing how God rejoices when one of us gets it. When one of us really gives in and surrenders to the will of God for us. When we stop letting our own will the way of God's will. When we stop letting our own wants get in the way of God's will, it has to be about as close as we'll ever get. In reading Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, it even says it, and I do believe it is the first commandment that embodies a promise. Let's take a look at verses 2 and 3, if you would. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, and that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live as long on the earth. As you see, you'll find a promise just for you, young people. Take a look at that real quote. It says, honor your father and your mother, that you may live long on the earth. Actually, that promise is for all of us. And did you notice, though, that it was conditional? When you read that verse, did you notice that the promise was conditional? What was the condition in the promise? That we honor our parents, huh? Not just for today, not just for the moment, but for as long as they are our parents. Amen. You see, God didn't leave us parents out, though. God had a direction for the parents. If you look further in the scripture, his commandment to the parents is that we are to bring our kids up, bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Now follow me, I'm trying to go somewhere. When our kids are young, when our kids are very young, they are developing a personal value system. It is us, the parents, who have to do the teaching. We need to show them the conviction of our hearts. We need to show them what we believe in. Just like God in Hosea, we need to show them our very mind. You see, we can't just start them off and not finish the job. We can't just point them in a direction and not tell them where they need to go. And you need to understand that we are the first Jesus that they'll ever see. So I'm telling you, what we start, we need to finish. We can't just put them on the road, pointing them somewhere, and then say we're too busy. We can't just set them on the road and let our jobs inundate our lives and say we're too busy. We can't just put them on the road and then say, you know what, I have to take care of something else. You're on your own. You see, we have to show them the what and the where's of the road. Or give our best effort, you see, because God is watching. And we need to lead our young people to God. You see, it's we the parents that are the backbone of their value system. The church is there to reinforce what is taught and valued at home, God's values, amen? In Matthew 19:14, it's said in a couple different ways. In Matthew 19:14, the time I'll just state it, it says, suffer not the little children to come unto me, for such belong to the kingdom of God. That's how I stated in the Revised Version. In a couple other versions, it says basically that the kingdom of heaven belongs to such, or the kingdom of God belongs to such. But in the Revised Edition, and I like to go by that, it says that such belong to the kingdom of God. You see, God is watching, and I want you to follow me. You see, most of us think that when we're reading the scriptures, that God is talking to someone else, amen? That God is not talking to you or me. When you read the scriptures, you also think that God is talking to some people in the long, long ago time. But not only is God watching us, I want you to know that God is talking to us. He's not talking to some strangers who aren't listening. Talking to us, church. You see, our children, although a valued treasure to be sure, if you were to believe the scriptures, they're not our own. God makes no bones about it. They are on loan to us to bring up right. But they belong to Him. He says, such belong to the kingdom of God. Such belong to the kingdom of heaven. But they are on loan to us to bring up right, huh? Think about it. These children, our children, do not belong to you. They do not belong to me. They are God. And if you look at verse 14 in chapter 19, that's exactly what it says. It says they belong to Him. It says that such belong to the kingdom of heaven. So right or wrong, there can't be left to perception. Our young people, our kids need us. We can't just start something that God gave us charge over and leave it to the world to finish. When God gives us our kids, when God says these are yours to bring up right, we can't get too busy and turn them loose and let the world finish something that we have started. God gave us charge over these young people. You see, when we let the world finish what we start, that's how the Columbine of the world happens. And these are wake-up calls to us as parents. We like to blame the world for what's going on with our kids. But God gave them to us to bring up right. It's time to stop blaming the world, people. The world doesn't care about our kids. Look at the programming on TV today. Look at what's going on in the world today. The world does not care about our kids. And if we turn them loose in the world, we have nobody to blame but us. You can't start them off and then just drop them off. You have to continue teaching them in the way they should go. You see, like I said, the world doesn't care. And our kids, whether they're on loan to us or not, they are still our kids, amen? And we can't keep teaching the what without the how. We can't keep teaching them structure without Christian standards. We can't keep telling them that God is important and not taking the time to study with them at home. We can't keep dropping them off at Sabbath school. Now, some of y'all don't want me to stand up in the pulpit anymore, but I'm going to tell you. We can't keep dropping them off at Sabbath school and not caring if they are prepared. I want you to know that what Pathfinders teaches, what is done in Sabbath school, or even what the pastor says from the pulpit is not the front line. I know some of us want to believe that when we drop our kids off, we're taking them to the front line. This is not the front line. We need to give them, as Christian parents, what we know to be true. The personal value systems that we learned from the Lord's Word as our parents hopefully taught us. Not what we believe, not what we think, not even what we've heard. But what we need to give them is that which we know by the Word of God, amen? Love, not hate. Forgiveness, not revenge. Kindness, not meanness. We need to teach them of the joy and peace from having a real relationship with Jesus Christ, amen? Not the hardness that comes from within. Not the coldness or the numbness that you can learn from the world. Not the coldness or the numbness learned from watching the daily news coverages that come across the TV every day. We need to teach them what God wants us to teach them. We need to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Not in letting them get spaced out in reality like it's taught in a lot of the video games that are out there today. Some of us just turn our kids loose in the video arcades thinking that that's going to raise our kids, huh? We can't just turn them loose because they'll start losing their value system, the value of life, by watching the millions of deaths that are shown on TV and in the movies on a daily basis. Or check this out, for the subtle satanic acts taught in shows like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I know I'm coming right down some of your alleys, so you turn your kids loose in front of television. The world does not care about our kids. Subtle satanic acts, or even the soft magic taught in Sabrina the Teenage Witch. You see, it's subtle, but it's teaching our kids witchcraft. They're sending them the bad messages. If you haven't noticed, the world is moving more towards magical and mystical things every day. It's drawing our kids away. It's making them think that fantasy is a reality. I want you to understand that Harry Potter's books and his movies are storming the world today. If you haven't been noticing, you've had your eyes closed. Harry Potter's books are the talk of the entertainment industry. Harry Potter's mystical realm, Harry Potter's mystical orbs of stones. It's subtle, but it's teaching our kids witchcraft. Even more than that, it's making it normal in the world today. Our kids are growing up in their homes and they want to see this stuff. And when we bend and break and let them see it, I want you to know that Harry Potter and all of his stuff that's going to come out behind this movie is predicted to be the biggest selling item this year. And I want you to understand that's still a bad message. The message that it sends is that witchcraft, along with psychic hotlines, are acceptable programming in our society today. But I want you also to understand that they're against everything Christianity stands for. But not many of us are talking about it. But not many of us are even speaking about it. Our kids in society are led to believe that it's all right with us because we don't talk about it. And if it's all right with us, then it must be all right with God, see, because we're Christians. So if it's all right with us, let's go rent Harry Potter. Let's go take them to see Harry Potter. Let's let them watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Let's let them watch Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I know what happened when we were kids. But that doesn't make it right. You see, if you want to know what God has to say about these things, you need to ask God. You don't have to go there now, but you can jot this down. You look at Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 through 12, and it'll tell you that God says that all of this is an abomination to him. Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12. Or look at 1 Samuel 15, 22. God says that witchcraft is a sin. Plain and simple. It's a sin. Read it for yourself. This is no game. This lifestyle, witchcraft, and all this other psychic hotline is not acceptable in any form. Game, joke, entertainment, or otherwise. Is not acceptable to God. We can't keep protecting our kids from the hobgoblins of Halloween and let them play all the Dungeons and Dragons they want. We're just sending them a double message. Tell them they can't go out and indulge in the hobgoblins of Halloween, and as soon as they get home, they drag out the Dungeons and Dragons game. I know that's what's going on in the world today, but I want you to understand that we are playing with fire. God says, provoke not your children to anger. And this has to mean that if we allow it, then it's our fault. Amen? Amen? If we allow these things to happen in our household, if we allow our kids to go up to see these movies, if we allow them to indulge in these things, then we just told them it's okay with us. And because we're the first God that they see, then we're telling them that it's okay with God too. That's a mixed message. If we look even closer, it says in the Word of God, Father, provoke not your children to anger. God speaks to both parents, but I believe it's us fathers who he calls out. Why? because we have the hardest time in what? Showing our passion. Generally, we're supposed to be the head of the household, and we have the hardest time showing the passion of our values. Now, I was over my pastor's house, and it touched me because I watched him do it. And he didn't know I was watching, but I watched him do it. Something concerned him about his child, and he didn't just say, stop doing that. Something to me explained that it meant something to him that he didn't do. He was sending wrong messages. You want to grow up, it's going to change you, it's going to tilt you. And it showed him, I believe you, sit down. It wasn't something I'm saying. We fathers have a hard time doing that. We need to show our kids a bond of faith. We need to let them know our hurts and our joys. Tell them our concerns and our fears. Let them know when we are proud of them or upset with them. Be involved with everything, but most especially their Christianity. Be involved if we have to, even to the point of being noticed. They're not going to want you to be noticed. But you know what? It's bad. We have to be involved even to the point of being noticed. Once they're in fact, they're noticed. They don't know it now, but they're going to thank you for being noticed. I'm serious. You see, God gave them to us for two reasons. One, that they be brought up right, and two, that we may know the joy of God's heart. God wants parents to know the joy of his heart, which simply means that we cannot, we should not let the world come between us and our children. God doesn't want the world to come between him and me. God doesn't want the world to come between you and him. And he doesn't want you to let the world come between you and your child. You see, because not only will the world slip in, it can slip in, and the world has slipped in. Not a past tense anymore. World is here, and there's more ammunition in the world after your kids than we can come up with to draw our kids back to us. But I want you to know that if we slip up, if we falter, it's our job, with God's help, to woo our kids back from the world. We can't just give up and say, they come. Just like God woos us on a continuous basis, when our kids start to pray, no matter what their friends say, no matter what the world says, we need to woo our kids back with all that we have so that they may walk in the admonition of God. You see, if you see as I do, then we can't afford not to teach them a Christian value system. Because the world is telling those who are self-taught, the children who are left to grow up on their own, our children, any children, the world is telling them that their value system, the value system that they pick up on their own, is as good as anyone else. So why should they conform? They can be a rebel. My value system is good as mom. My value system is good as dad. My value system is good as the teacher. What I say is just as right as anybody else. Who are they to tell me what's right? That's what the world is teaching. If I heard the pastor call that the no fear value, I mean, that's another struggle. Sounds cool. All the kids want to wear it on the back of their shirt. The no fear value system is teaching you to jump in with both feet. Don't pay attention. Don't ask whether it's right or wrong. Go on in. The no fear value system. You see, our kids just our children. They are young people. They are just like everybody else. They'd rather see a good story than hear one any day. We can't just keep teaching them legalism and get away with it any longer. The world is changing. We can't just tell them that lying is wrong and then when they ask us why, just say because. Or because the Bible says so. Some of us get away with that one. Some of us just say because, and then the rest of us say because the Bible says so. We have to take the time like my brother Uncle Ed does with the little ones, and teach them because lying is a sin. And because sin is the transgression of the law, and the law was given that we may know right from wrong, and it also reveals what God is like. It reveals to us the character of God. And then teaching them that there are blessings in keeping the law. And having a relationship with God. But also that there's a price to pay for breaking the law. And then take them to the verse and tell them where that's stated. You tell them, turn to Romans 6 and 25. I'll take you to it. We need to study this together. I know that sounds long-winded, but you know what? We have to take the time and walk this down for our kids so that they'll understand. Not just in keeping the Sabbath, but that they should delight in it. See, the blessing isn't just coming in here. The blessing isn't just that I know that the Sabbath is the day that I should worship God. The blessing isn't just that when the sun goes down on Friday, I stop and put all my toys away. The blessing comes when you look forward to Friday coming, when you look forward to the Sabbath happening, when you look forward to God being with you on Saturday. That's where the blessing is, not just in coming here. You need to teach them how to delight, to look forward to spending time with God. They can't receive a blessing just in taking the time out. That's just step one. But see, if we don't delight in it, we can't teach them how to delight in it. We need to teach them how to delight in it. We need to give them a part in Sabbath preparation so that they can own it for themselves. When Friday starts to come, you need to let them know, this is yours. I need you to do this and look forward to God coming. And they'll be looking forward to it on Tuesday before Friday comes. That's what we should be teaching our kids, so they can own the blessings for themselves. This is getting kind of long-winded, but in closing, I want you to understand, I want you to see that if we don't teach them about the character and the love of our God, right? If we don't teach them about the character and the love of our God, if we don't develop in them an emotional bond, then the world is going to call out to them. And if we don't show them that we care about our Savior and that our bond with them flows deep. Concerned when we're needed. Happy when it's time. But just not structure over relationship, but relationship with structure. You can't just build structure and no relationship. And I'm talking to all the parents, but most especially us fathers. Because we get the cold side today. We need to have that relationship, that bond. If we don't teach them that, then we fail. Failed in our part to show them that. God is good. God is loving them. God is a caring God. He's an interactive God. He cares about you to the point where he knows every hair on your head. And he's teaching us as parents to get close to our children in everything they do, even to the point of being noticed. Not just structural over relationships. We have to look at our youth as a savings account. The more deposits we put in when they're young, when it's time for them to make a withdrawal, they'll find God inside. Just like a savings account. The more deposits you put in there. You see, in a lot of ways, we are our kids' first pathfinders. If we don't set them on the right path now, we'll tell them what path they'll be on later. But speaking for myself, I want to tell you that when it was time for me to make the withdrawal in my life, see, I wasn't always walking the way I'm walking now, but when it was time for me to make the withdrawal, I want you to know I was surprised but overjoyed that my parents had put enough trust and Christian values in me that when I went to make that withdrawal, it was something inside, and I could come to Christ. I would have been totally lost if when I went to make that withdrawal, it was empty. So you need to understand that just like a savings account, you need to make enough deposits now that whenever the time is, if it's now good, but if it's later when they go to make the withdrawal, that there is God inside for them to follow. You see, in the face of all the ills of the world today, there's no doubt that we must be strong as Christians, amen? In this world, it takes a great strength to love over all else. But in this, we have as an example the greatest pathfinder of them all. He led the way, my Jesus, your Jesus, amen. He loves us even when we're unlovable. And he has died for us so that we may be pardoned and have access to the kingdom of heaven. He decided that through kindness and love, the love of forgiveness, that he could woo us, woo me and you, woo our hearts, and give us new hope in life, so that we may understand the one is that our children are alone to us, and that we may raise them right in showing them structure and a Christian value system. Two, that we must not falter and let the world raise our kids. Three, that we must put the love of God in early, the passion of our convictions, that our young children may have the right stuff inside when they go to make a withdrawal. And four, lastly, we need to be like the great pathfinder and teach them that it takes a great strength to forgive and love, and that strength comes from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who are watching and waiting that we may all know the joy of the heart of our God. Amen. God is good. Oh, dear Father, we thank you. Red, Lord, only one person to see something to reflect in God and your God himself. I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that we may all be a part of your plan of salvation, raising you up, and you give us charge of it. Thank you, Father.